Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive, Goodman and Mason. Watch us on MahiSports.com. Of course, if you're listening on the radio, you can listen on 98.1 FM in most of the Denver area, or you can get a beautiful signal at 107.5 HD3. By the way, that signal, that'll take you all the way down the Springs.
It is so crystal clear, signal. Man. Yes. It is a great, if you got the HD radio, do yourself a favor.
Take advantage of it. You want to join the conversation on the Go Fast Energy Drink Hotline and text line 303-801-1340. If you want to join on our Twitter feed, it's at Media by AP. Is that, did I get it right this
Media
time?
By AP.
At Media by AP or at Mace Denver on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. Join the conversation there. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Before we go on, I want to tell you about our friends over at Hot Tub Outlet as well, which has a huge inventory of hot tubs and two warehouses ready to sell right now. They got 15 different models and truckloads of hot tubs delivered every month, while other hot tub stores have little to no inventory and force you to wait 8 to 12 weeks. You can get your hot tub right now from Hot Tub Outlet. And don't forget, when you buy from them, you get hot tubs only made in the U.S. They have great quality and the best insulation. Go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or hottuboutlet.denver.com right now. You know, maybe you're going to need to soak in a hot tub if the Broncos come from out of the next few weeks and don't end up with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback.
Relax, as Aaron Rodgers likes to tell the Green Bay Packers fans. But man, I love me some hot tubs, especially out here in Colorado. You know, pools aren't I'm from California, like where everyone has a pool, right? Out here, it's like everyone's got a hot tub, or if you've got some sort of aquatic feature.
And you know what? Hot tub. Maybe he's already learned about the pleasures of sitting in a hot tub in Colorado because he's been spotted around Boulder.
Right.
In the last few weeks. Of course, his
great place to live.
His fiance, Shailene Woodley, is building a place up there as well. So, you know,
Colorado's
going to be near and dear to Aaron Rodgers' heart no matter what. But yeah, let's just dive into what if it doesn't happen? What if we're all left disappointed and Aaron Rodgers is not a Denver Bronco? And Todd McShay of ESPN spelled out that scenario in his mock draft for 2022. Yes, he has already done a mock draft for next year. And in that mock draft, he has the Broncos picking number 11. Of 32 and taking.
How do you mock that already?
That's you're projecting what the team's going
to
be this year.
That's so crazy to me.
Now, what's interesting is there are some mock drafts that are based off of the Vegas odds to win the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
And those mock drafts have the Broncos picking about 24th or 26th. Why? Because the Broncos' odds to win the Super Bowl changed the moment Aaron Rodgers became possible.
Changed big time.
And the betting reflected that. But if Aaron Rodgers is not a Bronco, this scenario where they pick 11th, it might be realistic. And McShay has the Broncos taking Spencer Rattler, the quarterback from Oklahoma. In this mock draft, he would be quarterback 3, Keaton Slovis from USC, QB 1, Sam Howell from North Carolina, QB 2 on his list. He's my QB 1. So let's talk about this for a moment. Let's say the Broncos are picking number 11. Beyond, obviously, not getting Aaron Rodgers, because that's sort of the big thing. What would have happened in a 2021 season that leads to the Broncos picking 11th?
What would have happened? So they would be 11th. They just had number 9, right?
So basically, you're going about 6 and 10.
Yeah.
Or actually,
so
no.
More the same.
6 and 11 or 7 and 10, because that's 17 game schedule.
Right.
It's going to take some getting used to.
So if that's going to be the case, that means that the Broncos have probably doubled down. They're already doubling down on Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. It seems like that would be the quarterback group there. And it's honestly, it just seems like it'd be another purgatory year for this team, man. I mean, like the last 3-4 years have felt a lot of the same. I mean, once Vic Fangio came in, it definitely changed a little bit. But, you know, I've reaffirmed firm in my take that this team is a quarterback away. And I mean, that's not a hot take by any means. There's national people talking about it. But their defense is plug-in and play. So, I mean, I'm expecting if that's how it goes, I'm expecting a very similar year to what we saw last year. Maybe they get a game or two more, but at 11, that's projecting that it's going to pretty much be the same exact thing, maybe a game better.
Yeah, and it's projecting it with a considerably weaker schedule on paper.
That's a great point. Because
you're facing the NFC East. You're getting a bonus game with Detroit. You're getting a fourth place game against Jacksonville, a fourth place game against the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. If you go 6-11 or 7-10 facing that slate, the only teams that were above 500 last year on the Broncos schedule this year are Kansas City, of course, twice, and then Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore.
Well, I think
five out of 17 games against teams above 500. Now, last year. Now, obviously, there's going to be some change, but the point being is that you take a look at the schedule and say, there should be a lot of winnable games if you can have some better luck.
Right, and I think the whole process, and correct me if I'm wrong, you'll know better than I am, but the whole thought process behind bringing in Teddy Bridgewater, you know, if he is going to be the guy for the Broncos, mm-hmm. is risk management in a way. You're getting a smarter quarterback who's a little bit more of a game manager, whereas Drew Lock is young and up and coming, right? He's taking some risks. I think Teddy would be a little bit more educated back there, knows what he's doing. The ceiling, I guess, is lower with mm-hmm. Teddy Bridgewater, but it's like driving like an automatic car. Like, it's like right now, if you go buy a used car from like 2013, right? It's like something that's got like 80,000 miles on it. It's good to go. You know, it's got 3-4 years, you know, longer than that on it, but it's not a BMW. It's not a Mercedes, right? It's not an upgrade per se. Yeah. It's a reliable automobile.
6-11, 7-10. We assume that there's a quarterback change. We assume that Drew Lock and or Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah, I was going to ask you, who's the coach?
I don't know who it is, but I think if they win six games next year, I would absolutely think that Vic Fangio's got to be not on his way out. I would think he is out. I mean, he's an older head coach as it is. I mean, I think you give him that'd be three full seasons as Broncos head honcho. I mean, at that point, if he can't figure it out with a guy who is reliable enough in Teddy Bridgewater, I think it's a whole new look for the Denver Broncos moving forward, which is why I think the word purgatory, you know, I hate to use it, but they're just stuck right in the middle. Like I don't envision much progression this year, just unless it's because they bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers, right? But with the roster as is, I think maybe Teddy Bridgewater makes you a game or two better.
So that purgatory, that's an interesting concept here. Because do you think there's something to the notion that maybe the Broncos and George Payton thought twice about picking a QB now? Because if you have this year where you're saying, okay, Vic, you got to get something done. And yet, if you make a change after this year and you've drafted a quarterback, you're forcing that quarterback to go through probably a scheme change heading into his second year. Whereas you kind of tell Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur and company, hey, you got this year to figure it out. You bring in Teddy Bridgewater, who clearly Pat Shurmur likes and Vic Fangio likes because he's a lower mistake quarterback. But then you say, all right, if you guys can't do it, then next year, whoever the coach is, it's more logical to have a new coach choose a quarterback than a coach that's on a seat that isn't yet hot, but is certainly warm.
It almost, in a way, like, and I guess it's par for the course for Teddy Bridgewater, but it almost kind of feels like a little bit like what he went through in Carolina.
Except
right?
They had a first-year coach in Matt Rhule.
Exactly, but it was like, hey, like, we got Matt Rhule, like, let's go ahead and get a decent quarterback that can, you know, hold things down. I know he got hurt there a little bit. And then they basically make the quick shift here to Sam Darnold, right? I don't know, man. I think I agree with that thought process a little bit because I'm far from sold on the Broncos coaching staff. I think Vic Fangio is an excellent defensive mind. I question his ability to command the entirety of an organization, right? I think that their offensive coaching staff, like, I'm not a Pat Shurmur guy myself. I mean, their offense has just looked so stagnant for so long. There's nothing inspiring about the way that they're going about their offensive business, right? And I think what you just said hits it directly on the head here. Why are you going to go ahead and draft? You don't want another Drew Lock situation where he's changed schemes already, what, twice? You know, he's bounced around in a bunch of different situations. I mean, confusion probably makes it more difficult than anything. I forget. I was just actually listening to a UFC fighter on the drive down, Michael Chandler. He's fighting in a championship fight coming up in a couple weeks. He talks about mentality when you step in the cage, right? The second that there is an ounce of doubt that is inserted into your mind about, can I do this? Am I the guy for this, right? That's going to have a complete and total effect on your performance moving forward. I think there's something to be said there about the Broncos and Drew Lock as well. If I'm Drew Lock, how could you feel confident going out in the football field with the dysfunction that's been going around the Broncos organization for a while? You know, and so that's where I look at it is if this Broncos franchise wants to get back to the glory days and competing and contending, it starts with continuity across the board. And I think by not drafting a quarterback and maybe drafting a Surtain, a smart player, right, or going with some other positions, I think that's indicative of we don't have the chemistry needed to plug in and play the most important position on our team in quarterback.
Unless you get Aaron Rodgers.
Unless you get someone in here who is a scholar.
Yeah.
Right, who doesn't need the person looking over his shoulder, which is why I think it's the perfect fit. Because you can allow Vic Fangio to just focus on the defense because Aaron Rodgers is essentially like a player coach in a way because of how smart he is.
How many wins do you think it takes for Vic Fangio to come back for 2022?
So there's 17 games now.
17.
How many did they win his first year?
Seven.
Seven. Okay, so they still haven't had a winning season under him.
I think they got to get to nine.
I think that's the threshold, right? You have to have a winning season.
All right. Now, if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, how many wins do they have to get?
11.
I think, yeah. I think 11 is the bare minimum.
I mean, because I think you bring in Aaron Rodgers, the expectation, I don't care how good Patrick Mahomes is, you want to win a championship. He's 37. You got 3 years. I mean, maybe if he can pull it off like Brady, and I don't know if Rodgers is that kind of guy, though. You know, like I think you got 2-3 real years with Aaron Rodgers right now. And you got to go all in. Push them all in.
All the chips.
And I wonder
all
because...
All the pasta and the meatballs.
Yeah, I would love it, man. I'm a Rodgers guy. And I actually like Vic Fangio as well. Like I said, I think he's a fantastic defensive-minded head coach. I imagine what he could do if he can compartmentalize his focus on that because you have someone like an Aaron Rodgers. That's how I look at it.
Well put. Coming up on the other side, at number 9, of course, you just mentioned Pat Surtain. The Broncos took him. Did the Broncos have other options at number 9?
Good
options
question.
To trade down, perhaps. Should they have taken advantage of those? We're going to get into that. On the other side of Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, Eric Goodman on assignment, Neil Piro filling in for him. Andrew Mason here with you on 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM, and of course, milehighsports.com worldwide. I don't want to spend time fighting. We got no time, and that's why I need a one dance. I
go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, and Neil Piro filling in for Eric Goodman today. Watch us on milehighsports.com. Listen to us anytime, whether you can go on milehighsports.com, you can download the podcast version of our shows. You can listen on Alexa by saying, Alexa, play Mile High Sports Radio. You can also communicate with us on the GoFast Energy Drink hotline and text line 303-831-1340. And, of course, on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Media by AP or at Mace Denver. So a lot of ways to, so by the way, complete kind of nerd moment here because as I'm doing this show, I'm also cleaning out my hard drive because
look at that.
If you follow my account on Twitter at Mace Denver, you'll see that most days I've got some video snippets from the show that I put out there. And of course I've got to produce those videos and the guys behind the glass make sure that I can download them on my external drive, and then I put them on my hard drive. But it's amazing. Like I go from having 200 gigs of hard drive space to 5 gigs of hard drive space in like 2 weeks.
It's crazy, man. Ridiculous. This media life.
Yes.
It's a little funky out there sometimes.
Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Joe Banner used to be the president and CEO of the Eagles and the Browns. He's also worked for ESPN. He's now doing some work for the 33rd team. And he had something interesting that he put out there on Twitter this week, and he wrote about in regards to how the NFL draft went, particularly how it went right around the Broncos pick at number 9 overall. According to Banner, you had the Chicago Bears quite desperate to get Justin Fields. They started calling the Panthers at number 8. Panthers turned them down. The Broncos at number 9. Broncos turn them down. Eventually, they make a deal with the Giants at number 11. It's 2 mid-round picks. It's a first-round pick next year to move. The Giants move down 9 slots. That deal was offered to the Panthers and the Broncos, according to Joe Banner. Should the Broncos have taken that deal?
Man, that's a really enticing offer, because especially because you know Gettleman does it. He came out and said, he's like, I'm not getting fleeced. If he hates to move back.
Right.
Right? So I think, you know, the fact that Gettleman was willing to take that deal, I think shows the value that Chicago was bringing to the table. I am actually a little surprised that they didn't take that deal, especially with Peyton's track record. Right? Peyton's kind of established himself as an NFL guy with the Minnesota Vikings that is all about accruing, I don't know if I said that right, accruing. There we go. I don't
accruing.
Know. If there we go. Assets, you know, whether it's draft picks, players, cap space, all that kind of stuff. So, man, so they would have moved back to 12?
Would have moved to 20.
Or 20, excuse me. Because they 9 moved up to 12.
20.
9 to 20. See, okay. I mean, there is.
For a 5th-round pick this year and a 4th-round pick next year.
Yeah, I think, you know.
And the first-round pick in 2020. That's the key thing.
And I'll default to something that Rod Smith has told me time and time again. You know, I was asking him, what do you want to see with the Broncos draft? What kind of player? And he says, I don't care what position it is, as long as an impact guy. Right? And I think that the Broncos went ahead and drafted an impact guy in Surtain. I think he's a high-level, high-IQ player coming out of Alabama. I think it's the right pick for what the Broncos need right now at a premium position. So I think the prospect of passing up on getting a, I don't want to use the word term lock, but getting an impact player versus maybe getting someone that's a little bit of a flyer at 20, I think it makes a little bit more sense to just draft the closer thing to a sure thing.
Now, here's what's interesting. Let's say the Broncos still go corner. You had Caleb Farley, who dropped because of recent back surgery, but he was still on the board. He would have still been on the board at 20. And, of course, the Broncos also like Jalen Phillips out of Miami, an edge rusher, who went number 18 of the Dolphins. So he would have been off the table. What if Caleb Farley were still on the table? Would the Broncos be better today with Caleb Farley and an extra first-round pick for next year, or are they better with Pat Surtain?
Gosh, you're playing devil's advocate here. I would like to say they would have been better off accruing, getting Failey and having the extra first round pick. I'd like to say that because that's just common thought process tells you you can get more and take maybe a little bit of a hit up front, a little bit of a haircut up front, right, in the lesser prospect. But I really like Surtain, man. I think he's I just love the Alabama player as well. And I think it's a premium position at corner, right? And I think what he can provide to you long term and what Vic Fangio can do for him, I guess that's why I'm comfortable with what they did. I mean, you can't always get an A plus, you know, and I think sometimes that's what we fall in love with, is trying to win the trade, trying to win the draft, right? I mean, it's the same thing with grades and a crew. I mean, look at Danny Ainge in the Boston Celtics. I think that is the perfect example. We're always talking about how Danny Ainge is the greatest executive of all time because he gets all these draft picks and he's got all these resources. What have the Boston Celtics done in the last 10 years with those assets? Nothing. It's not necessarily about what you've got in the bank. It's how you use it, how you utilize it, right? And I think if Surtain's the player for the Broncos and they came out and said he was the number one player on their big board, then I think it's the right pick. I think you got to stop trying to be the smartest person in the room sometimes.
But there's one thing, like in a vacuum, I can see the whole thing of Surtain. You love him, go get him, make the pick. The problem is you don't operate in a vacuum. You operate in a reality where quarterback is still the big screaming question. And maybe you didn't like the quarterbacks. Maybe you didn't, or you liked Justin Fields, but you didn't love Justin Fields. Didn't love him enough to pick him at number 9. But it's still something where you're looking at saying, all right, if Drew Lock can't fix the turnover problem, all we've got is a bridge, pardon the pun, in Teddy Bridgewater. And it's still the big flashing neon sign need. It is the flashing vacancy sign outside of the hotel.
Right.
And what is the best way to address the quarterback position? Well, if you're picking in the middle of the first round, it's having the capital to move up.
Right.
Or if you're trading for Aaron Rodgers, having capital to trade for Aaron Rodgers. So if you had made that trade, if you had taken the Bears offer and the price of trading for Aaron Rodgers includes 3 first-round picks or 2 first-round picks and the player equivalent of a first-round pick plus some other throw-ins, you could have pulled off a deal where all you did was send your first round picks from next year to the Packers.
Yeah.
And then by 2023, you're back at a full draft complement. Or if you don't get Aaron Rodgers and you have that 8-9 win season that kind of puts you on the edge, but you still need a quarterback, you know, kind of like a season Buffalo had in 2017 with Tyrod Taylor. They go 9-7. They still need a quarterback, but they had draft capital. They picked up an extra first round pick in 17, the Mahomes deal, and they moved up and they took Josh Allen. So if you're picking 18th, 19th in the draft, and you've got an extra first round pick, all of a sudden it becomes more feasible to move up and get Sam Howell or Keaton Slovis or Spencer Rattler. Whereas you don't have that pick now, you're stuck potentially trading 2 years worth of first round picks for Aaron Rodgers. Or if you don't make that deal, you're trading maybe two years of first round picks to move up for a guy in next year's draft because your draft position for next year is 18, 19, or 20 with an average quarterback riding a good defense and good skill guys. I think the Broncos' overall construction would look better if they had that pick.
Well, when you put it that way, it's a little enticing. Absolutely. No, and I think, well, I mean, that's why people like you, you know, people that are in the front office, I'm sure they went through all these scenarios, right? And I think...
But they were focused on their guy.
Right.
And they were focused on Pat Surtain.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. There's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes you have to step back and look at the bigger picture of saying, all right, we can get this one guy, but what does it mean for the overall construction when the most important aspect of the team is a big question mark?
And it's interesting, like, you lay out that entire situation about trying to trade back and what it can do in regards to setting you up and the full draft capital for 2023. That sounds exactly like something that George Payton would do, and he didn't do it. Isn't it kind of fascinating?
He's usually trading back in later rounds. Like, his big thing is, for example, that trade in the second round when he moved up five picks but got a sixth round pick back. So one of his things is when he does move up, ending with the same number of picks that he had going into the deal. So getting back a late round pick, which is basically a throw in, but then he still, in his mind, he still has as many darts as he had going into it, even though that dart is much later.
Right.
He wants to have a lot of darts.
Very interesting.
The more darts for theory of drafting. So
yeah, and sometimes that is that sometimes it's dumb luck.
And that, in terms of raw number of picks to go from 9 to 20, it would have, over the course of 2 years, it would have given them 3 more darts, including one big dart in the first round next year. Because look, I don't think the Bears are going to be that good of a team. Although, if Aaron Rodgers is out of the division, they might be a little bit better. But the Bears could be picking 10th, 11th, 12th in the draft next year, potentially.
Yeah.
And that chip would have been a nice piece to use to move up if you don't get Aaron Rodgers and don't have the quarterback position solved. Or if you're trading it for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, like I said, you could have made a deal. If you had that Bears pick, you could maybe make a deal with Aaron Rodgers where the only first round picks you're giving up are next year. So you get to 2023 and you're back in the first round again. And so
I would love, that'd be a home run.
If this team were right there and constructed, I think standing pat would have made the most sense. But if what Joe Banner said about this being the offer of the Broncos was in play, I think they should have taken it. I think they absolutely
should have taken it. Argument. You definitely make it hard.
Pat Surtain has to be a Hall of Fame player or close to it, maybe, to rationalize not taking that deal.
Right. No, and I think
no
that,
pressure,
that's, a great, that's a great way to put it into perspective, though. And that's the economics of the NFL.
And that's why it's so fascinating. Coming up on the other side, do you remember Bobby Valentine?
Of course.
Mr. Disguise.
My old Mets skipper.
Yeah. He's decided to go into politics.
Of course he has.
Who else would you like to see go into politics from the sports world? If anybody. We're going to discuss that on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. And Neil Piro filling in for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason. 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 on the FM, milehighsports.com worldwide. Come around, I wish him well. Living like I'm on a limitless pill, I kill the scene like I'm Denzel. Crazy like my jacket strapped up. I don't act, but I act up. Brown paper bag like the lunch packed up. Back up.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive, Goodman and Mason, Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM, MileHighSports.com worldwide. You can watch us there. And Eagle Puro filling in for Eric Goodman, who's on assignment today in the parlance of the late, great Irv Brown. I like using that term, by the way. On assignment.
On assignment.
It's basically no one's business where Eric is, but Eric's business.
Right. I just made
although it is his business. Like,
right.
He's got other business interests that he's attending to right now.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Hopefully a productive
business
stuff.
Is good.
I do want to apologize for looking at my phone on that intro. I just had to lock in a couple bets before the basketball games get tipped off.
Oh, what were you betting on tonight?
I'm on Chicago plus four. I took them, and I also like the Royals tonight.
Did you bet on the Phillies?
No,
because they put up a six.
I hate the Phillies.
They put up a six spot on Charlie Morton and the Atlanta Braves in the top of the first.
Well, your Braves did all right for me yesterday. I laid off today.
Yeah, Charlie Morton. At this point, Charlie Morton is pitching like an exhumed corpse out there.
Like, there was the pitcher from the Yankees, Phil Hughes.
Yes.
Remember that a while back where his arm literally died? Like, he had dead arm and, like, couldn't throw a strike, like, lost all of his velo. Like, crazy. Baseball is an interesting sport, man.
You can lose it so quick.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. And
like you remember how good, like, who... talking about, like, a big player yesterday with the guys. Like
Albert Pujols.
Right, maybe that's who it was.
Yeah, because the Angels, of course, signed him to the massive deal. It was a 10-year contract. And what was interesting is his form had dropped a bit in his last season with the Cardinals, 2011, when they won the World Series, beating the Rangers in seven games. His form had dropped a bit, but he thought, okay, probably can bounce back. Turned out that was basically the start of the decline for Albert Pujols.
I will tolerate zero Albert Pujols slander.
I'm not slandering him as a Cardinal. Is that fair to say?
As a Cardinal, he's great.
Yeah. Him as a person and him as my first sports hero in the phase of life. I will tolerate zero Albert Pujols slander.
Even though, well, it's not slander because for it to be slander, it would have to be false, right? Albert Pujols did decline over the last decade after he left St. Louis.
I am ignorant to what you are saying. I have no idea what you mean.
He was great as a Cardinal, man. Arenado today came out and basically gave him a shout out at the end of his like press conference. And was like, I love you, man. Like, you're my favorite player.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it just sucks he's doing it in Cardinal red instead of Rockies purple.
What's the reception going to be for him?
I think you've got to clap because it's not his fault.
Yes.
Right. I mean, he did get a little emotional there at the end. He came out and said today, too, that if he has any regrets about how it went, it's that he let it bleed out into the media the way that it did.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan said this. I think it'll be a welcome reception. I mean, how could you hate on him? He did nothing but be a good Rocky for you. He wants to win and the franchise couldn't support that.
Yeah. You know, what's fascinating is that the fans have mostly taken Nolan Arenado's side here.
Yes.
We talked earlier in the show about how in Wisconsin, the fans are mostly taking the Packers' side with Aaron Rodgers. What do you make of that? Is there something different between Colorado and Wisconsin?
That's a really good question because immediately I was going to say, like, the Rockies organization is so dysfunctional and, you know, the ownership, blah, blah, blah. But then I think about the Packers and I'm like, it's really not that great there either. Mm-hmm. I mean, they never really signed big free agents. You know, they've never really provided, in my opinion, a full-fledged effort to surround Aaron Rodgers with true elite talent that can match up to his playmaking abilities. So I think maybe the only difference is football's so life and death up there.
Yeah.
You know, that the Packers are truly everything, whereas the Rockies here are just something to do. You know, it doesn't matter if they're good or bad. They're always going to draw, right? Whereas the Packers, I mean, it's in the Green Bay, you know, that's a community. It's not a city. It's not a mecca. Like, it's a stadium in the middle of, like, it's just a bunch of houses next to it. You know, it's people live and die by this stuff that's publicly owned by the people.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that has a big part of it to do as well, is there's no one player bigger than the Packers organization.
Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
Well, I don't think that Dick Monfort, after what happened to Nolan Arenado, could run for mayor.
No.
Bobby Valentine, former MLB manager, most recently the Red Sox, and also most recently athletic director. He went in athletic administration after his MLB career.
Oh,
he is running for mayor of Stamford, Connecticut. So the guy who once wore a glasses and mustache disguise in the dugout is now running for mayor. Obviously, you can't really go incognito in that job. Is there anyone around here in Denver sports who you think would make a mayoral candidate that you could get behind?
That's a really good question. Off the top,
I think, by the way, Nikola Jokic, I think, could win in
right. That's what
a
I'm saying.
99% to 1% landslide right now, because not only is he a great player, his mentality, kind of the way he sees the world, that kind of laconic sense of humor, it seems like he fits this town perfectly.
I could see Charlie Blackman getting some love for like a little mayor role. You know, Mr. Beardman up there puts on a nice sharp suit. Like I saw him post on his Instagram today. He's out there with the dog fishing in the water, you know, knee deep. Like that's the Mr. Colorado man.
He could be like the mayor of Fair Play or something like that.
Who else is there?
You know, someplace up.
Buddy
up
Black.
In the hills.
I could see Buddy Black being like a little mayor of a small town, you know, out in the middle of Southern Colorado somewhere, holding court, Buddy B.
Yeah.
And that'd be a fun time. Who else is there? There's got to be some other players. Like the Nuggets, I don't really see anyone. There's no one like. Who's the most mature player on that team? Paul Millsap?
I mean, could you see Von Miller running running a city? Probably not. No offense to him.
Absolutely not.
I could see Justin Simmons. I could actually see Justin Simmons literally being the mayor of Denver.
That's a good
one. If he wanted to pursue that after his career and go into politics, I could see him literally being the mayor of Denver.
Well, the obvious one here, too, is John. I mean, like, this guy runs the town already. He's pretty much just kind of like the unofficial mayor.
I don't think he could win the city of Denver for mayor, though.
Right, no. Yeah.
The thing about John Elway is, of course, you know, his politics are very right of center.
Right.
And
well documented.
Yeah, it's well documented. You can just, you know, he's, you know, donated all this and that. It's easy to find out. And he, of course, wrote a letter in support of, I believe it was Neil Gorsuch, right, for the Supreme Court a few years ago. If John Elway ran for governor or Senate or some statewide office, it would be fascinating to see how that would go because, of course, John Elway was and is a very popular figure. But if you are at one extreme or the other politically and people start learning that, they're not necessarily going to vote for you. Here's an example. Richard Petty, the king of NASCAR, ran for Secretary of State in North Carolina. Back in, I believe, in 1996. Wouldn't you think that Richard Petty would win a statewide race in North Carolina?
Yeah.
He lost.
Yeah, you'd think.
And it wasn't all that close.
Just like some random?
He just lost to
a casual, actual politician?
An actual politician, yes. Tom Osborne ran for office in Nebraska. I think Tom Osborne, longtime Nebraska coach, lost in a gubernatorial primary. He was a U.S. representative for a little bit.
I think there's a lot of middle America, too, if I'm just being honest with you, that just gets so turned off by, like, the celebrity stuff. You know, it's like...
And maybe they don't want to know what the politics are of their favorite players and coaches. And
I think that's some of the, not innocence of sports, but not impactful. Like, you know what I'm saying? In regards to, like a sports athlete is not making a difference in the world. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because of his play on the court or his play on the ice or his play on the field. Whereas someone who's an elected official can like generally make impact in the general day-to-day life of the civilian, right? Like this athlete lives in an insular bubble, especially in this day and age when you make so much money, you know, over the last 15, 20 years. I was talking about that with Rod today too. You know, he was talking about how when he was an undrafted free agent, you know, it's, when you came in the league, man, it's like you had to earn your paycheck every single week. It's not like now if you're a first, second round pick, like you're good. Like, you're good for years because of the guaranteed money. It's a lot different.
You're good for years, but you're not as good as it used to be because before they put a rookie salary scheme in place, and this led to issues like Jamarcus Russell, the Raiders being on the hook for a big contract when he was a bust.
Right. Oof, that, I watched a YouTube video on that the other day.
Right.
Let's throw this out there real quick. More athletes in politics.
Yes.
Glenn Jacobs is the mayor of Knox County, better known in the WWE universe as Kane.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know who Kane is.
He's a big time. He's old school. He's been around. He's like in the Undertaker's age. He's a little younger than the Undertaker, but he's been around since like I was a lot. You don't know who the Undertaker is?
I'm the Hulk Hogan. Andre,
you don't know
the
who
Giant.
The Undertaker is?
I'm like 80s generation here on wrestling.
I feel like everybody knows who the Undertaker, the dude who like rolls the eyes in the back of his. You've seen the meme, the dude coming out of the coffin on Twitter.
I've seen the eye roll, but that's The Rock.
No, you have to know who the Undertaker is.
I obviously don't.
What?
I wasn't, even like from my generation when I was a kid, I wasn't that into wrestling. So.
What?
Yeah. This wasn't my thing. It's fake.
I mean, it was never my thing either, but I feel like, man, the Undertaker, like that's, you've never seen like this cat? Never seen these memes on Twitter that go around like when a team comes back in the fourth quarter, like it'll be like him coming out of a casket.
I thought it was from a movie.
No, that's WWE, baby.
I thought it was from a movie that I just hadn't seen.
Well, WWE.
So it's from something else that obviously I haven't seen.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway.
Unfortunately. Nah, you're not missing out on much. WWE sucks now.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Danny, what did we miss?
Coming up on Just In Case You Missed It, the Nuggets made history on this date back in 1994. Also, a couple incredible performances from T-Wolves rookie Anthony Edwards, putting him in rare company. That's coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and, with Mace.
Messed it up!
Hero.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Ericman on assignment in the fine words of the late Irv Brown. Neil Pirro filling in for him. Listen to us on 98.1 FM or 107.5 HD3 FM in Denver. Watch us worldwide on MileHighSports.com. Yep. I had forgotten about Nolan Arenado until he brought him up in the last segment.
It's like a bad memory, that you just try to like block out of your mind and then it just like something triggers you.
You know, as bad as it is, it would have been a lot worse if he'd gone to L.A.
Yeah.
A lot worse if he had stayed in the division.
I mean, I almost find myself biting my tongue. I was telling people, like, at least he's going to a first-class franchise, you know, and now I'm like, I'm not even a Rockies fan, and like, it just shouldn't have gone this way. You know, it's just, when a player like Nolan Arenado comes around, like, in my opinion, a franchise should do everything in their power to keep him.
Yep. Time now for Just In Case You Missed It.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just In Case You Missed It is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
May 7th, 1994, the Denver Nuggets and Dikembe Mutombo made NBA history as the first 8 seed to beat a 1 seed in the playoffs, defeating the Seattle Supersonics. Do either of the 1 seeds right now in the NBA stand a chance of being knocked off by an 8 seed? It would be the 76ers in the East, the Jazz in the West.
Well, I mean,
ooh,
there's the whole thing of course, having the 7-10 play in. So let's just take the Jazz for a moment. The 8-9 series as of this moment is Warriors Grizzlies. I wouldn't give the Grizzlies a chance. I'd give the Warriors a puncher shot.
I would too, man. Steph Curry's on a mission. And
yes.
Look, Nikola Jokic is the MVP. I've barked up that tree numerous times, but Steph Curry, man, he's sensational.
And, you know, the thing with Curry is, and Steve Kerr is well coaching the team. When you have the roadmap,
right?
Those teams tend to link. Like, look at a couple of years ago when the Spurs and the Nuggets went at it in the first round. The Spurs clearly on the downside.
Right, that's a great comparison.
But you have people that you have Popovich and you have people on that team that still have the map.
Right.
And they're able to play above their heads under pressure. And that's the kind of thing I think you might see from the Dubs in round one if they take on the Jazz.
Great point.
Just in case you missed it, on Wednesday night, Timberwolves rookie Anthony Edwards joined LeBron James as the only two teenagers, as Anthony Edwards is only 19 years old currently, with multiple 40-point games in the NBA. He tied his career high of 42 points. Now, looking back at the 2020 NBA draft, Anthony Edwards went number one overall. LaMelo Ball went number three to the Hornets. Who has the better career, Anthony Edwards or LaMelo Ball?
I'm a little bit biased because I have a soft spot in my heart for the Charlotte Hornets. I'm going to say LaMelo Ball, but it's really close.
I tend to agree. I think LaMelo Ball is a hell of a player, man. Yeah. I think it's a little bit like the Luka Doncic, DeAndre Ayton situation where you kind of knew. I never understood why Ayton went one and Doncic went two or three, whatever it was in that draft. So I think LaMelo Ball is the player for sure. Best. I always said he'd be the best of the three Ball brothers.
Well,
so.
And the other thing is, with all respect to Anthony Edwards, there are more guys there like him that come into the NBA every few years. LaMelo Ball seems a little more unique in his skill set.
Definitely.
And that's one reason why I'll go with him. That was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, Masterpiece Roofing was recently voted Denver's best roofing company, and their customers have given them over 85-star Google reviews. Call for a free roof inspection today to see how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Maybe you had a little bit of hail damage earlier this week with that hailstorm that came through. Masterpiece Roofing can help you out. Whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding, let Masterpiece Roofing turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Danny, our man Andrew talking about Nolan Arenado. Are you going to the game tonight, by the way?
It's in St. Louis.
Oh, it's in St. Louis. Why did I think it was in Coors tonight?
So 4th of July is when he comes back, like right around that weekend.
Rocky.
Which would be crazy.
You know what? I misread my MLB app. I saw Cardinals at Rockies, and it's Rockies at Cardinals.
Damn app.
So I'm an idiot, and that's what I'm going to go into the weekend on being, is a complete idiot, not knowing where the Rockies are playing. Well, they're playing in St. Louis. You can catch it tonight, and they're going to love him there. Loved having you on, Anilo. Thanks for filling in for Eric.
Anytime, man.
All right.
You guys do great work.
So do you, and you'll be in this chair in a couple of weeks filling in for Eric as well.
Back in the saddle.
But it'll be Eric back in here on Monday. I'm sure we'll be talking more about Aaron Rodgers because that's the primary topic of the month. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. MileHighSports.com. Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM. Make it a great weekend. Don't let me down. I think I'm losing my mind now. It's in my head.